Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, this is episode 211.
211. It's G'day. A fun number.
G'day. It is a fun number, 211. Yeah. Hey, guys, check it out on the 211. And people are like, what's that? Is that different to the 411?
Ooh.
Is it as serious as a 911? Or is it more laid back casual? 211.
I don't know, because a 411 is to look out for something, be on the lookout.
Maybe a 211 is like, oh, this is quite funny, but nothing will happen if you don't watch it.
Sure. That holds up.
Yeah, I think
that's official now.
Great.
We just made that a thing.
Geez, I hope we remember it. We won't.
No.
There's no chance. Oh, next week.
Yep. Episode
212.
Is it 212 or is it?
It's a special episode. Special though. Episode. So it is another live Watchersville audio play.
Yes.
It's a very, very good one. It's just as ridiculous. Does not feature cats. Last time, remember the cats on the Christmas tree?
Yes.
Yeah. No cats, but still Christmas related. So that will drop on the Thursday, which is 23rd.
Yeah, that makes sense.
On the 23rd. So you can have a listen to it, have a laugh, and just get in the festive spirit.
Get into it.
And, of course, then we've got other things we'll talk about. Oh, no, we might as well talk about it now.
Yeah, let's talk about it now.
We didn't talk about it in the special.
No.
So then the week between Christmas and New Year, we've got yet again the wonderful quiz.
Yay. I think it's going to be a good one this year.
This one.
I feel like I'm pumped. I'm ready for it.
This one I've tried to come – because, you know, we've had to come up with a lot of questions this year for quizzes, right?
This year? Years. You've written a lot of questions.
A lot of questions. So these are all still original ones, but hopefully there'll be a couple of ones that stump you, maybe a couple where you're like, this is easy. You know, you got to do the waves, you see. It's the waves. Sometimes I've heard people say Tom answers the questions too quickly. They're like, they're still trying to think about it.
Mm.
But awkward silences.
It's not radio positive.
Yeah, it's not.
It's hard.
It's
sometimes
hard.
I bite my tongue. Sometimes I can't control my ADHD and I answer quickly.
And sometimes you are pondering and I get awkward and I edit the awkward silences out.
Maybe you should bring in an orb and I can ponder the orb.
Okay.
And that will distract me from answering so quickly.
And the orb will make a sound, therefore it won't be an awkward silence.
That's right.
Great. Okay, great. And
the
then
the sound will be
That'll be nice and helpful for you. Mick will be back at the beginning of the new year. We'll be talking about our top five 2021 watches. Well, sort of watches.
Yeah. And look, it's stuff that we've already decided.
Yeah.
We've conferred.
Yeah,
so
we have.
If something was to happen over the next few weeks.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't count.
It's not on there.
I'm laying it out there because I haven't seen Spider-Man yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, you never know. But, like, we've already discussed our lists. We've got it in writing. I'm set. I'm happy with it.
Me too. I'm happy with mine.
And if Spider-Man should be on my list, I'm going to put it in next year category.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay,
fine.
Good. I'm just putting it in there.
That's very exciting that you're going to see it, though.
I'm so excited.
This movie has been talked about for, what, 15 years?
Absolutely. I'm going, when this drops, I will have seen it about 6 hours ago.
Fun.
Or something like that. I don't know. Midnight, Wednesday. We're not Thursday, 12:01.
Are you going to need a little nano nap beforehand?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just the excitement's going
to and like it'll probably finish at like 2:45 or 3. And I'll get home and go to bed about my normal time.
Okay.
No big deal.
Oh, that's around the time when I wake up from being asleep and have my early morning worry. You know how everybody has their early morning worries? It's my early. Your early morning worry must be about 6.
Yeah. Yeah, when I'm awoken.
Yeah. And that's worrisome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very worrisome.
Every time.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by things in your eye. Can't seem to get them out, but you can't leave them in because it's scratching. Best close your eyelid and plan to never use it ever again. Things are hotting up in the Best Town competition as the finalists have been announced and Watchersville is nominated. Wonderful news, and there's plenty of reason for everyone to celebrate by dancing in the streets. But Both Listenville and Readersville are in with a chance of taking home the award as well. Our counter-surveillance surveillance team have intercepted chatter from both towns, and it's not good. There's plans to throw around gross, green, slimy, toxic waste in our serene, gorgeous Japanese garden, hijack our easy-listening radio station and play only crazy frog songs, and get on social media and post photos of Watchersville's bad side. Honestly, the lengths people will go to. Last year's lighting of the Christmas tree was a bit of a disaster, what with all the cats and stuff. So instead, this year, there are plans to have festive fireworks. Not to be mistaken for the New Year's fireworks, of course. To avoid confusion, the Christmas ones will be green, red and gold. And ringing in the new year will contain silver, blue and purple. It's perfect. Problem solved. Dane was today years old when he found out that thumb drives and thumbs are not the same thing. He was under the impression that the USB part you plug into your computer to transfer data onto or off of the drive then somehow connected into an actual human thumb and was then transported around that way. When asked if that was the case, why didn't he have one? He shrugged and said, "I don't know, I thought it was just for old people." So, a community service announcement. USB thumb drives are now considered to be ancient technology. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. We're still doing Christmassy stuff right now, so I've got another Christmas-themed quiz for you.
Yes.
This one is just an either-or once again, because we don't want things to be difficult.
And that, I'm proving thus far this year.
Ooh, yeah, Christmas has been...
Christmas is stumping me.
Am I
a Grinch?
I think because they're all just guessing games. So you really only have a 50-50% chance of getting it right.
This is very true.
You can't, I mean, I would be impressed if you knew this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's kind of like those Hallmark movie titles. There's no way anyone's going to know it. No idea. And if you do, you've been watching a few too many.
Yeah, well done to you.
Yeah. That's right. Let's kick off the news section with you, Tom.
All right. So looking forward to Christmas. This week there is a Young Rock Christmas special that's going to be airing on NBC. Now, we talked about how they're getting season 2, which will be along early next year, and that the show did very well for them. So
yeah.
I hadn't heard anything about this. Pretty cool.
Mm.
It looks like they're retelling or redoing A Christmas Carol.
Oh, everybody's on doing that this year.
The Rock is Tiny Tim.
Okay. I didn't think that was going to be what you said we're going to say.
I didn't either, but I imagine he may be Tiny Tim, but he may also be Scrooge or something.
That's what I was thinking.
The three younger actors that play him may visit him, or that he's
That's a great idea. He's
probably going to be that he's the 20-year-old and he gets visited by the 8-year-old,
yes,
the 13-year-old, and then much older Rock
that makes
saying,
sense.
Do what you're doing, you're going to be president.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's cool. So you finished the first season? Have you been keeping up with it?
Yeah. Nice. So I think it was 13 episodes or something like that.
It's a nice amount.
Yeah, and it's the same showrunner and a lot of the team that did Fresh Off the Boat, which I really enjoyed.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a very safe family show type thing, but
it's the rock. I saw a I wouldn't really say it's a meme. It was mainly just four photographs of the Rock in films. He's wearing the exact same color shirt,
yes,
and he's got leaves like jungle sort of background, and the caption was, "These four photographs are from four different films." He likes going into the jungle in his movies.
He does. He has a style. Can I guess that it'd be Jumanji?
Jumanji
2.
Red Notice
and the Gorilla Rampage. Or it could be Journey to the Center of the Earth 2.
Jungle Cruise.
He does love a khaki shirt.
Mm.
Yeah, actually, yeah, there's a lot of khaki, yeah.
So we've managed to name six movies that could be.
And that's just from the last four, yeah, maybe three years or something.
Not that long at all. That's madness. Speaking of madness, turns out Keanu Reeves has never played Cyberpunk 2077.
He's been busy this week, hasn't he? Dropping truth bombs all over the place. It's like, yep, I'm in a game. Why would I play it?
Yeah.
Basically. And the funny thing is, right, because I read this on a gaming site, Polygon, and they were like so controversial because the head of CG Projekt Red, who made Cyberpunk 77, had said that he was playing it and he loves it a year ago. And then this year's Keanu's like, nah. I don't play.
It's probably maybe that was Keanu in The Matrix was playing it. Not actual Keanu.
Did you see that? I can't remember what it's called.
The game?
Yeah. That Matrix sort of game on the Unreal Engine.
Looks pretty impressive.
Very good, right? Now, it's more of a like a almost proof of concept kind of this is what the tech can do.
Mm.
But it's running on Xboxes and PlayStations.
Should we be doing this with that tech?
Yeah, I know, right?
Just stop poking the fucking wasp nest.
It looks so, yeah.
Do you want the AI to wake up?
It's going to, right?
That's how you get woken up by AI.
100% going to.
I also saw that Keanu, someone yesterday said, asked him about NFTs. He's what are NFTs? And they explained it and he laughed.
Just in their face?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that wouldn't even be rude. He'd just be politely laughing because he's Keanu.
Yeah, but like as in what a dumb idea.
It's such a dumb idea. I remember when I heard about it the first time, I was like, why would I want the only digital version of something that like then I'm going to either lose it or it's going to be on an external hard drive or something and then that external hard drive dies and I won't have it.
I think the fact that you and I are long-time content creators on a free service means we don't have that same mindset.
Yeah, that's true.
We're not hoarding.
Yeah, I've heard that games with a service are thinking of doing it. So, like, if you want to buy the only outfit of, I don't know, Keanu Reeves in Fortnite, which I think already exists, but you can pay to have that and you'll be the only one. Like, it's that kind of thing, just why? Then you're just going to look like the person that spent a lot of money.
Yep. And I'm sure put a very large target on you for hackers for them to jump into your account.
Yeah, that's so true.
Hey, Mary. Something about that makes me think it's not actually hair gel. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
You know how Colin Farrell is, I reckon he's going to have a busy year next year.
Yes.
Because not only is he doing the Penguin series.
Yeah.
Is that on HBO, I think?
Yes.
HBO related.
Yes, HBO Max.
HBO Max, yeah. So apparently he's going to be in and also executive produce a show called Sugar.
Honey.
Exactly. It's going to be on Apple, so Sugar Apple, Apple Sugar.
Okay.
But Apple TV and Netflix were fighting over the rights for this and Apple won it. It's going to be – so it's also being created by a bloke who had a lot to do with Thor and I Am Legend. His name is Mark Protasevich, right? And apparently they were
– everyone wants in on it.
Right up for it. Don't know what the plot's going to be about, but it's apparently a genre-bending drama reflective of the big sci-fi sandbox that he likes to play in.
All right. Well, I've seen Colin in some awesome stuff, in Bruges, in Lobster.
Well, even remember he was in, wasn't he in A True Detective season? Maybe not the first one.
Was it him
maybe
and?
Maybe it was the second one. Matthew McConaughey was in the first one. I don't think he was in that one.
McConaughey and Woody Harrelson in the first one. Maybe and the third one was Michelle.
Ali, yeah. He might have been in the second
one. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Got a lot of time for Colin Farrell. He's also in Seven Psychopaths. Does some very interesting, weird roles. So a TV show where it's genre bending. Maybe he's the straight man in the middle. Maybe it's some weird kit going on. Let's see.
Maybe he'll just wear his penguin outfit, and we'll all just be super confused. Wait, which show am I watching?
So the Sex and the City thing came back.
Yeah.
What's it called?
And just like that.
Okay. I forgot to write this down properly. All I wrote down was Peloton having a bad week. I should have gone into some more detail on this news story because it was developing when I made the note the other day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't want to say why, because I imagine people are excited for that show. I see it's broken some records for HBO Max and everything. Well done to them.
Created a lot of discussion about women of a certain age.
Oh, women of a certain age. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whether they, it's good that they're stepping into the limelight. Mm-hmm. Too long have they been pushed away.
That's right.
Was Cynthia Nixon, was she a mayor or was she wanting to be the mayor?
I think she wanted to be.
Yeah.
I don't think she was. I don't think she made it, but that was...
Because it'd be weird to be like, hey, Cincinnati, or wherever she's from, Cincinnati, I know I'm busy being the mayor, but SJP needs me for about 7 to 8 weeks.
And I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Don't worry.
I promise I will work hard at things at night. Yes. I will be on email.
I'll be on Zoom.
I've left all the details with the babysitter, but I've got to go and slip the old... Jimmy Choo's on.
Yeah.
No, she wouldn't wear Jimmy Choo's.
No, she wasn't wearing those. I think she was probably just wearing. No, she wore heels. She's got to go and catch up with the girls.
Yeah.
That's what she'd say.
Go catch up with the girls. All right. So
catch up with the girls.
Peloton had a bad week because that show came back because something happened with a bike. That's my story.
That's a good story.
Thanks. If you know more, feel free to shoot me an email that I will put right at the top of my to-do list.
Oh, I thought you were going to say then you would send it on to Cynthia Nixon, who will then make sure that the babysitter who's babysitting Cincinnati will take care of it.
As long as we get it notaried.
Yes, of course, naturally, right?
Got to be an official government document.
Yeah.
Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1.
David Arquette, Scott Foley, who I remember from Felicity, but he's been
Party
in other
five.
Stuff.
No, not I'm thinking Scott.
Scott Foley is the Jennifer Garner ex.
Yes.
You're thinking of Scott Wolf.
Scott Wolf.
Yeah.
Not Scott Speedman.
No, not Scott
he was
Speedman.
Felicity?
Yeah. He was the blonder.
All right,
one.
I'm confused.
Scott Foley was the darker haired Felicity guy.
All right. Yes. All right.
He was
yes.
In Scandal, but I don't think
I'm back. No, okay. I didn't watch Scandal, but I'm pretty sure. I think yeah. Let's go with yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great. And Kunal Nair, otherwise known as the bloke from The Big Bang Theory. Who else is in it? Oh, Christina Hendricks as well, who I quite like. I think she's cool. So they're going to be in a movie called The Storied Life of A.J. Vickery. This is based on a book.
Yes.
And it's about a bloke who his wife's died. He's got a bookstore and it's not going well at all. He loses like his prized possession, which is a rare edition of a Edgar Allan Poe book of his poems. It's been stolen actually. And then over time, his life just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And then I think he has the chance to make his life over. And then so it's almost... I feel like it might be a bit of a, here we go, back in time, but you know that you're going back in time kind of thing to fix up your life.
Like a Groundhog Day loop?
Years. Go back and fix it all. I mean, we'll see how that goes. But what I thought was really funny was that David Arquette is playing a bumbling, sort of shy, funny policeman. I was like, I've never played that before.
It's a stretch.
Yeah, I hope he's hoping.
Look, it makes sense. A lot of people don't cast David Arquette. For the stretch, they want him to play what he does.
Yeah.
Because he's good at what he does.
Can you pull that face, David? Perfect. That's what we want. Thank you so much. Yes, the face. I know that no one else could see that, but...
I did my best.
He got the essence of the David Arquette face. Yeah. So that's obviously not going to be till next year, I would
That's
imagine.
A ways off,
Yeah, definitely.
Some cool news that's not from watching yet, but maybe kind of. I don't know. So I've talked before, but there's a famous Australian comic book writer named Tom Taylor based out of Melbourne, and he's written a lot of stuff for Marvel and DC and his own things over the years. He's had his own animated TV show adaptation of a comic book that he wrote called The Deep. Mm. It's got several seasons out there. So he has just signed an exclusive contract with DC.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
It is, and it's a bit of a get because for many years, Marvel and DC made a big deal out of their exclusive contracts because there was this perceived rivalry between them, mm-hmm. between the companies. Mm-hmm. So it's football player style, getting the best players on your team. And that rivalry has kind of disappeared over the last 5 years or something in the comic book front. It's been supplanted by the films.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's, the rivalry's where that, gone. Where's it gone? Yeah,
that's where that chipping away happens. Yeah. So the writers, artists and stuff are far more freelance, I'll say, and they jump between the two and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Tom has made really big impact at DC over the last, I'll say, 18 months with some of the storylines he's done. He did one called Deceased. DC East, which was
zombies.
Yep.
Yes.
So that was the zombie virus taking out superheroes, taking out everyone. But Batman goes down very quick.
Well, he's not really a superhero. He's just a bloke.
Yeah. But he gets inside Mr. Freeze's suit and like freezes himself slowly so he can still give instructions to the Justice League as he turns. Wow,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's really hardcore.
An idea.
And he also is writing the current story of Kal-El's, Clark Kent's son, who has come out as bisexual. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a bit of a mover and shaker. He also did the for Marvel for many years a storyline of Laura Kinney, who is the clone slash daughter of Wolverine.
Okay.
Female Wolverine. And then there's a clone of her as well called Gabby. She's known as Honey Badger.
We're kind of getting into multiplicity here.
That's the point.
Okay.
And Gabby is amazing. But so basically this guy, he's great at doing rebooted or like taking a what if concept and developing it out wide. So he wrote most of the comic books that spun out of Injustice, the DC fighting game where they kill each other and stuff. He expanded that universe and wrote nearly 5 years worth of comics there and this sort of stuff. So it's a really big deal. And you know, any comic convention down here in Australia that he gets along to, he's always pretty high top build.
I bet.
He hangs out a fair bit down at Marvel Stadium down in Melbourne, this sort of stuff. And yeah. He's a real dude. So congratulations from us. That's a big deal. I can't think of another Australian writer who has ever gotten exclusive with one of the big two. Nicola Scott is a Australian female artist who has done Wonder Woman and Birds of Prey and Suicide Squad and a lot of very big names, but I don't think she was exclusive.
She wasn't. It's that freelance, like you said, kind of thing. Yeah, right. Wow, that's...
It's very cool.
It's a good year.
It's a very cool thing. Yeah,
that's very cool. I got one last story and then I think you've got some trailers as well.
Yes, I've got two trailers.
Cool. So Netflix has signed a multi-year overall deal with a writer and producer who was involved in Fear the Walking Dead. She's worked on Prison Break, Star Trek Discovery as well. Her name is Kalinda Vasquez and... in the deal, she's going to create, write, and produce new series and other projects for Netflix. Now, those shows all sound a little bit different.
Yeah.
But you kind of get an idea of maybe the audience that Netflix is trying to go for there. So the first project is called Arbor Hall, and it's a young adult mystery thriller. So maybe almost CW kind of crossover there. And it'll follow a Latina girl who investigates the disappearance of her best friend and discovers a dark underbelly of their exclusive boarding school. Ooh. I reckon that's going to sit very nicely with audiences like Riverdale and
Sabrina.
That new Sabrina. Yeah, exactly. Mm. I reckon that right there is going to be good. But I wouldn't mind if she... one of her other projects went a little older, you know, like the Prison Break, Star Trek, Fear the Walking Dead thing, so that you can pick up a few more adult audiences. So keep an eye on her, I reckon.
All right. Maybe they'll do some good casting with the professors at the university, the college, and that's what gets an older viewer.
And Emma Thompson would be good.
Oh, and Emma Thompson. Sure.
All right, let's get into these trailers.
All right, so two trailers, one movie, one video game. Ooh. There was there was a big video game awards, I want to say. I think it's called
the Game Awards.
The Game Awards. And they showed off a lot of cool trailers. The one trailer I want to talk about, which blew my mind with excitement, was the trailer for Space Marine 2. Now, Space Marine came out so many years ago, and it's a Games Workshop Warhammer game, and you're playing a super soldier in the future. You've got a bolt pistol and a chain sword.
I like it.
So it's a sword, but with a chainsaw for the bit.
Does it like light up? Oh, okay. So, I was almost thinking almost like lightsaber, but with
You can get a chainsaw, but you can also get a power sword, and power swords have conduits on the outside, and if you're psychic, they light up. Yeah, it's a whole thing. But the first game is legendary because the majority of Warhammer games, being that it's a tabletop-based game, mm-hmm. majority of Warhammer games are third-person,
yep.
weighed back, and you're controlling an army.
Mm-hmm.
Or single-player through the eyes of whatever character you are. Whereas this is a third player pulled back. It's not quite XCOM style, so you're not controlling yep. a squad, you're just controlling one, but it's brutal. And it was kind of doing God of War style stuff, but
yeah, okay.
in the future.
I'm seeing what you, yep.
So the first game was against the orcs, who were the green skin, basically football hooligans in space. They breed from fungi. It's a weird thing. They infest a planet and just all they want to do is fight. Whoa, get to crumping, all this sort of stuff. The second game, so no one knew this was coming. Everyone's been asking for it for years and they'd kept it really secret. And it's a different company making it. But this one sees the hero of the first game, who was a captain by the end of it. He's back as a lieutenant, so he's been demoted. He has some telltale signs that he may have been put on a penance crusade to earn his place back in, because he did some questionable stuff at the end of the first game, not in terms of turning evil, but in terms of not following the letter of the law.
The protocol.
Which is a very – the emperor protects and you mm-hmm. follow the Codex Astartes, all this sort of stuff. So yep. it's – anyway, the bad guys in this are the Tyranids. And the Tyranids are – think Starship Troopers,
yes.
the bugs from that.
Right.
Mixed with aliens, like mixed with the H.R. Giger style, multiple mouths, protrusions,
sounds
all this
attractive.
Sort of stuff. They are the skittering horde that comes from beyond. They are escapees from a fallen universe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming here and all they want to do is devour. And they okay. just they hit planet side. They ingest everything, they poop it back out into liquid, and then it gets sucked up into space in their spaceships and they move on to the next planet. So you are taking on them, and it looks like what I've always wanted of you playing your, what's the game where you play against like a million zombies at once? Days Gone?
Days Gone with the Horde, yeah. Or right. even Back for Blood.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's that, but it's single player against thousands of skittering aliens
okay.
of various scales.
So
from,
if it is,
they
yeah.
start at ankle biters and go through to the things called Morlocks, which are basically a giant worm mouth, like from Dune. Imagine
yeah, I was
that
just
popping out,
that, yeah.
but with the predators, protrusions that come out, and it can swallow a tank whole. All this sort of stuff. Oh
yes, there's a lot of planning that's going to have to go into this.
Like, yes,
you're going to have to make sure you've got everything you need to tackle.
And I know this is not a video game per se, a movie per se. We normally talk about that with trailers, but this trailer was so cinematic and the story was what made this game so good, the first one, that like, the whole community basically went, fuck yeah.
So there was no word that this was going to come out. This was like.
And people ask for it all the time. Mm. Like Games Workshop licenses their IP to several games of very varying quality.
Yeah, okay.
There is one good game for every 30 or lowers.
That's a lot.
They do a lot of mobile games. You know what I mean? There's a lot of that sort of stuff.
Okay,
so when they do these big AAA title stuff.
So do you know, like, is that a next year thing? Or?
Yes. They don't say when, but it's expected next year.
And maybe in time for Christmas.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that people are like, oh. So we know who's coming back. It's Titus. We know that the voice actor of Titus is coming back. But he'll have a new squad because he's been demoted and this sort of stuff. Warhammer is putting out Games Workshop is putting out some new models this week, and one of them is a captain for the army that Henry Cavill plays. And that captain is coming with a different head,
okay.
a bare helmet head that bears a striking resemblance
to a very good-looking actor.
to a witcher. And his name is like Arboreus Cavalescus.
Oh, God.
Or something like that. So
Henry
it's really on the nose.
Must be frothing.
I think they're setting things up for him to be a voice actor in this. I mean, they're definitely setting up that the second they could do this movie, he's in. Because he was on Graham Norton last week. Graham Norton gave him shit about Warhammer. He's like, oh, you play that little the World of Warcraft game, Warhammer. Anyway, Tom Holland was sitting next to him. And he's like, they talked a bit about it. And then Tom Holland, this sounds amazing. Can I play? Henry Cavill's like, yeah, Tom Holland, you can come over to my house and we'll play Warhammer.
And Henry.
Yeah, the whole internet's just gone, fuck yes. Please live stream that shit, boys.
Oh, it's so funny.
So, yeah, anyway, we just fell really far down the
That's okay. You brought it back, Tom Holland, Henry Cavill.
There you go. It's back in there. Anyway, the other trailer I saw that made me go, yeah, I'm in, Sonic 2. And the 2 has a little pair of tails coming off it.
I wonder why.
Yes, because Tails is back, voiced by the original Tails actress.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is great for continuity. Idris is in as Knuckles. And it was great because I watched the trailer with Shay, who I went and saw the first movie with me at a ball. And when the trailer came out, she turns to me and she goes, oh, that Knuckles looks like a bad guy. And I had to bite my tongue and say, you know, to start with, he's going to be a bad guy. But do you think he's going to team up with them to fight the really bad guy? Because look, a Dr. Robotnik, Eggman, is back.
And he's the
moustache on Jim Carrey this time is insane. Oh, boy, it's big. And I was doing some reading with him that for The Grinch, before they started production, he went through training with the CIA torture experts of how to endure long-term torture because being in that Grinch costume for 8.5 to 12 hours a day or something like that was like torture. So I know he'll go to crazy lengths, but it looks like I don't know how you would keep that thing up on your like, it looks really, really heavy.
That's going to be so much fun.
James Marsden's back in it. He's going to have quite the year next year, I reckon, between Sonic 2 and Disenchanted.
That's another guy that never stops working.
And good. He shouldn't.
He's in stuff.
I hope. We're a long way off, but I hope that he morphs into a Tom Hanks style everyman because he's such a good everyman in many things.
You know, he's perpetually young looking. He's kind of got the Paul Rudd thing going on. Those two and Jason Bateman actually, the three of those guys. They should imagine they're all them in a movie together where they all turn into different versions of Tom Hanks.
And can we call it like the Elixir of Life? And it's all about how, as teenagers, they went on a Stand By Me style adventure and they found a dead body, but they poked it and it gave them
stuff came out.
Eternal youth.
Yes, like it was the gases were. Pfft, and they went,
so they are still dying, but it's like they were, what's the, not emulsify. What is it when someone's died and you mummify them? What's when you scoople the bits out?
You embalm them.
They've been embalmed by technical.
We have got some great ideas today, can I just say?
Fired up.
Yeah.
Great creativity. It's that Christmas spirit. We've been very busy with our countdown of Christmas.
Yes.
On our business social storytellers on all our socials.
That's right.
Come by and see some of the fun videos we've done and things.
Very busy doing some fun things.
Photos and whatnot of our front window where we've done Lego Christmas or
We made a Christmas Carol audio play. Tom plays as Scrooge. Of course he's plays Scrooge.
Jam it in your ears. It's great fun. And Leah's worked really hard on it. I mean, I put in a little bit of work, but Leah deserves all the credit for it. So
I did all the audio editing.
Yeah.
It's good fun. No, it's good fun. You've got one more or is that it?
No, that's it. That's it. That's it. But it's time for the last fun fact of 2021. And due to the timing of Spider-Man, of me getting to beam it directly into my eye holes.
Yes, and ear holes.
Something hours. Mm. I thought we would talk about what is generally considered the best Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man 2, which is the one with Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus. Mm-hmm. Willem Dafoe, of course, was in the first one as Green Goblin. But my fun fact is double pronged. Now, Willem Dafoe appears very briefly in Spider-Man 2 in a haunting sequence. Oh, is he there? Spooky. It is a bit spooky. Willem Dafoe was not originally supposed to return for the movie, but he was walking back to his apartment one night and saw the cast and crew filming nearby. He stopped by the set to say hello, and the filmmakers decided to give him a cameo appearance.
That's cool.
That's
really fun. I love that Bill Murray kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff.
And it enhances the film and it makes everyone go, oh, look at that. They continue, they care about this sort of stuff. It makes me wonder who else might have just walked past the set while they were filming Spider-Man No Way Home and pulling in everyone across multiple multiverses.
Well, imagine if it was the ladies from Sex and the City, aka Just Like That.
On a tour.
Yeah.
On a tour.
Could happen.
And then when Dr. Octopus, so in the film, he's got his big tentacles and stuff.
Yeah.
When he carries his tentacles, because there are points where he's supporting, they are prop tentacles. Mm-hmm. When the tentacles carry the doctor, so when he's walking up the sides of buildings or this is as it goes on and they infect his brain more, their computer generated imagery. To accomplish this effect, a 20-foot high rig held Alfred Molina to glide him through his surroundings, and the CGI tentacles were added in later. However, it was always preferred to use Edge FX's puppets since it saved money, and each scene was always filmed using them. Using the puppets first to see if CGI was truly necessary. Huh. Now, that's 2003 when they've made this.
Mm.
Flash forward to now, and there's hardly any they use parts of the tentacle, but there is a rig that they've set up that is linked and driven by computers rather than people animating. So he's on this strange thing that just has him completely. Okay. So whereas before – puppeteers would control some of the movements and it required 5+ people at a time. They've now got this thing sorted. So it's not only being driven by one thing, but it's being driven from his spine as the tentacles would. So he's not going to sway from the – whereas he used to sway and have motion from the hips, now he'll have motion from the spine.
How clever.
Yeah.
He still doesn't need to – look like he's in control of it either. So to have him suddenly be jerked back and forth would still make sense.
Tom Holland told a story that they would be on set and talking and he'd say something to Alfred Molina and he'd be answering and he'd suddenly be like, it'd lift up, take him away somewhere. And he'd just say, oh, farewell, my boy. I love the image of a very respected English actor.
Yeah.
Actor.
Off he goes. Oh. Into the ether. That was a good fact.
Thanks.
That was a good one.
We'd end out strong. God, I'm excited for this movie. I'm Avengers Endgame level excited. This is
okay. So if you're Avengers Endgame excited for it, then you're obviously going to see it at midnight.
Yeah.
But then by the time the weekend is over, you will have seen it a few more times. Then
potentially, it's pretty sold out everywhere.
Ah, okay.
And look, if the stars align, I'll see it at least once more. I've got other people that want to see it, but they're very non-committal with their timing. That's fine. I'm available when you are.
I don't know why I sighed like that because I'm not that angry about it.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
It's not my fault. Got a quiz coming up for you very soon. It's Christmas themed because we're coming up into that festive time of year. But first, we need to get into these watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I'd like for you to go first so that I can say, Tom, what you been watching? It's my new favourite thing to say.
All right, I'll go first.
D2.
All right.
D2.
I have watched the first episode of Harry Potter Hogwarts Tournament of Houses.
That's a very long title.
Yes, which I think I might have mentioned a few weeks back as upcoming.
Can you refresh?
I will. It's not going to be what you think. It is a game show.
Right.
But between the four houses of Hogwarts. Each house has 3 people picked from their team and 20 people in that house behind them cheering them on or like Wheel of Fortune style yelling stuff where appropriate.
Yeah, they're getting psyched up.
The 3 people chosen for each team differ each week.
Okay.
And it's 2 houses against each other each week.
Okay.
So there's 4 episodes all up and it'll be, 2 go on, 2 go on. Then there's a third place and a winner type thing. Oh, I forgot to mention it's hosted by Dame Helen Mirren. Yeah, I know. You weren't expecting that, were you? She's like the only respected English actress that wasn't in those movies.
That's crazy.
Judi Dench wasn't in there either.
Wasn't she? No.
No.
She should have been.
I think they're about the only 2. But yes, Helen Mirren, and I've seen snippets of episode 2 and episode 3 comes out this week and she looks a bit more comfortable with things, but you can see her at the beginning. She's like, holy fuck, these guys are nerds.
What is going on?
Yes, bamboozled. I mean, she's down for anything. She hangs out in a Fast and Furious movie. She's rad. And she looks like she's having a whale of a time on this show.
She's been in so, because I remember her originally from quite serious stuff like Prime Suspect, I think was the show.
Yeah, sure.
And I remember she was in a skit for French and Saunders where she wanted to try a hand at sitcom acting, like a bit of comedy, because it looks easy. This is the premise. So she goes in, there's a live studio audience. She's got Julia Sawala, who plays Safi in Ab Fab, and she's playing her daughter. And every time she says a line, Heron Mirren, nobody laughs. But then Jennifer Saunders comes in. She's like, I'm the wacky neighbor. And the audience is laughing with applause. And she's like, I just don't get it. This is so much harder than I thought it would be. And Jennifer and Dawn are like, yes, it is. It's not as easy as that serious acting. But now she can go up to them and be like, well, I've done a game show.
Yeah. So yeah.
Eat that.
And it's great fun, and she looks bamboozled that she's doing it as well.
She's just happy to be there.
Yeah, but I believe there's 4 episodes of that because we're getting close to the, I think it's New Year's Day, the big HBO Max Harry Potter reunion.
Yeah.
Thing special.
People will watch the hell out of that.
Well, I mean, they've shown one image that's got the 3 main cast members sitting together, which is great. I don't know how much J.K. Rowling is involved. Mm-hmm. They're not pushing her with it. Probably, okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Awkward.
Awkward. Anyway.
Very awkward.
Check that one out.
Grab some turpentine, acetone, and benzene. That's all you'll need to make Dippin survive the upcoming cartoon apocalypse. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, speaking of things to check, I went and checked out Jagged Little Pill, the musical. It has come to Australia. Sydney, actually. I think it's going to Melbourne soon. So I went and watched it. And I was trepidatious, right?
Now, we should just set this up in case someone for some reason is a new listener hasn't listened to, I'll say, probably three episodes. That's how often Alanis comes up.
Or French and Saunders, and I've done both.
They are the firm favourites. Oh, yeah. They're your standby.
They're my go-tos.
Yeah. You are what do Alanis fans call themselves? Alanaholics? Jagged Little Pill takers?
Under fans, supposed former infatuation. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. But she's okay. So she was who I thought was really super cool growing up, right? Yeah.
There's your aspiration.
Like like, how does she write like this? She's so rock and like all angsty.
So raw.
Oh, she's got such a good voice. It's just, she's so good. And like, my friends were into her as well. So we would like all get in. She was everything for us. You know, and then you get older and you're like, oh, she's got a new album out. How long's that been out? A year. I have not listened to it, but I'm sure it's, you know.
Yeah.
But you go back to
Thank
the other
you for
album.
Service.
Yeah, that's it. So I was a bit trepidatious about this, right? Because Jagged Little Pill was the album.
Of course.
It was the album of the day where everybody who was of a certain age, so teenage girls into their 20s, were like, she's singing about everything that we didn't know that we were thinking about. Mm. She's just so good. So very personal. Like, you can get out of her songs what you want, and it becomes a very personal thing. So to have a musical where it's the songs, but it's based on a completely different story. It's not about her. They've based the songs.
Oh.
They've based the story around her songs, but it's about a family, right? A mother, father, daughter, and son, and they've all got their own issues going on, right?
Sure.
So they all have their own time to sing these different songs. And I actually went with my friend Nat, who we went – one of our first ever concerts was to go see Alanis Morissette when Jagged Little Pill was out. So that was the only album that Alanis had.
Sure.
I mean, apart from the 2 Canadian pop star ones, we don't talk about that. But, like, at that concert, you knew that every song that you knew was going to be sung because that was the song. Like, and the sound I remember cut out during You Ought to Know.
Mm.
On and off. I still remember it was at the Enmore, right? And it didn't matter because everybody in the audience knew every word to every song. I love it when that kind of stuff happens.
Enmore's the place where that happens.
It's really.
Here in Sydney, I saw Linkin Park like a week before their first album came out, and it had been floating around on Napster.
That's before.
So yeah, we didn't have it. Had come out 2 months ago in America. We hadn't gotten it here yet.
Yeah,
but
right.
Everyone at that Enmore gig had obviously file shared it and had it on their hands, and the floor ended up collapsing. We were jumping around too much.
That's
and
amazing.
So the carpet was holding everybody
That's
up
amazing.
Over the train line.
That's so good. That's like such a good feeling.
Enmore, yeah.
Enmore's, yeah.
So is that where this
no,
second
so this
performance was?
No, this was at the Theatre Royal.
Alanis has moved up in the world.
So we had Natalie Bassingthwaite is in it.
From
Rogue Traders. I think she was in Native Home and Away.
Here come the drums.
Well.
Here come the
That's
drums.
It. We can't do too much of
we
it.
We can't.
And also in it was Maggie McKenna. And I knew her because I remembered her from Muriel's Wedding, the musical.
Right.
She played Muriel in that. But she's actually Gina Riley, a.k.a. Kim from Kath and Kim's Daughter.
Well, there you go.
Very good.
Huh.
And it's really funny, right? Because my friend Nat said, at the end, she goes, hearing the best of the best that they could find to be casted in this, sing these songs that we know really well. She's like, Alanis really does have a good voice because they were good. They were great. They were amazing, but they were no Alanis. I was like, oh. And I remember thinking back in the day when people would be on Idol, whatever Idol, right? Mm. Doesn't matter, Australia, America, whatever, or Pop Idol. You'd have no go zones, right? Do not cover a Celine Dion song. Do not cover a Mariah Carey song. Do not cover a Alanis Morissette song because it's going to show off the fact that you can't sing as well as those three.
Yeah, sure. They're too peak.
They're too much. It's too much. And it was kind of like that. But I thought Maggie and Natalie did the best job. Yeah. They were phenomenal. When Maggie performed You Ought to Know, and it worked really well with her storyline, she got a standing ovation. That's pretty impressive. Very, very good. And it made me want to revisit the album. So on the drive home, I was listening to Jagged Little Pill again.
Very nice.
Get your fill. What have you been watching?
I checked out. Now, you remember a couple of weeks ago I talked about Tiger King 2 and how it was quite disappointing.
Oh, yeah.
And how the juiciest bits of it seemed to be missing. Well, on Friday last week they dropped Tiger King Doc Antle.
Is it really awkward?
Oh, my God. It's a hard watch. This dude is culty.
He came across as that in the original.
So it's almost like he exposed himself just enough on that original and then cut them off and wouldn't deal with them anymore. But it caused a whole lot of people that he'd hurt in the past when they saw the show to step forward.
Okay.
And get in contact with the documentary crew. Now, it's not the same exact people, but it's someone who was like tangentially involved in season one and stuff like this, maybe a researcher or something like that, but it's still from the same family. And it is, he is scum.
So how many episodes were there?
So there's three.
He got three.
So there's three. And then with the five that were before, that's the same as season one. Okay. And that's why I said I felt like it was missing because they kept this as a separate thing. And I'm glad they did because I think Joe Exotic, I think he's brought up once or twice in the entire three episodes.
Interesting.
This is the story of a sexual predator who's used religion and created a cult. Well, not even created, but like just cherry-picked from what he wants from yogis' teachings.
Yeah.
All this sort of stuff.
To get what he wants, like you said.
And like he kidnapped a 15-year-old girl and they went and got married and all this and, yeah.
You've been pulling the same face the whole time.
I know.
That icky face. Like.
And the thing that's so fucked is that they still don't spend tons of time on his abusive tigers.
Really?
It's all these shows highlight the fact that, you know, what they do to their animals is bad.
Yeah.
But how they behave to other people is the real
problem. That's the main thing. God.
And anyway, we already know that he was indicted on various charges and things like this, and there was stuff that was outside the statute of limitations, so they can talk about it, but he can't be prosecuted for it and stuff. But like, really tough watch. He is not the big character that Joe Exotic was of Bombast, but they kind of clearly show this delineation of Doc Antle went and learned from, and I can't remember his name, but the guy that started Yogaville or Yogiville.
Yeah. I can't
which
remember.
Was a yoga-based cult. And so Doc Antle.
I think there was a doco about that a few years ago too.
Doc Antle lived on campus there and set up his zoo a mile down the road and cherry-picked what he liked from the leadership and got himself, you know, moved up there. But he was a magician and he was all about stage magic and trickery. Okay. And then he fell in love with the power that the yogi had and wanted to learn. So he's learned his own bits and pieces from that. And then it shows how 10 years later Joe Exotic met him and was enamored with the power that Doc Antle had over his zoo. And so it's like he cherry-picked the worst parts from Doc Antle and tried to implement that at his zoo. Like, oh, God. Anyway, they do a great job of linking all this stuff together and showing
so
how
going on.
You've got one half of these zoos where, I'll be honest, it looks like meth is what takes them down, or, you know, that hillbilly hick lifestyle, guns and stuff. And then you get the other side, which are people drunk with power. And, oh, really tough watch.
Did you watch them one episode each? Or
No.
You just got through them
all? Yeah, put all three.
Because it'd be hard to get back into it.
That's what I do. All the Tiger King stuff, I'm always just, make me hate these people. Let's do it.
Yeah.
The team's still tuning in for The Truman Show. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Also on Netflix, I watched a Nicole Byer special, that Big Beautiful Weirdo.
I've downloaded that, but I didn't get to it because I was watching Shit People.
Well, I watched it, and so you know how she's in like 422,000 podcasts?
Yeah, she is very prevalent.
Yeah, so she's got one called Why Won't You Date Me? I'm trying to think of the others. There's one called Best Friends, but I think one Why Won't You Date Me is probably the most similar Nicole Byer that is in this new stand-up special.
Is she very sweary?
She's, a bit sweary, but very, I'm looking for a word. She just likes to talk about her love life.
Sure. Open.
In a very open way.
All right.
In a funny, open way. And I think that if you think that she is just Nicole Byer from Nailed It, that might shock you.
That might shock you.
So just wanted to warn you that even though it is funny, maybe listen to one of her podcasts first.
I think it's get
an idea.
If you've only seen her from Nailed It, everyone that's watched her from other things watches Nailed It waiting for her to fuck up.
Yeah, that's exactly it. She hasn't done it yet.
She hasn't done it yet, but she's so rude outside of her. Very flowery and descriptive with her stuff. Hilarious.
Beautifully said. Flowery and descriptive. That's what she is with her love life
in
this stand-up. Yeah. I thought it was because I've listened to those podcasts, you know, not religiously, but I've listened to a handful of them, I was like, okay, I know what I'm getting in for. And I enjoyed it for what it was. And I just think that it's great that Nicole Byer is everywhere. And if she can continue to be everywhere, I'm happy with that.
Hell yeah.
I think she's great.
I think she's, yeah.
Yeah.
Bloody great.
Bloody great.
Bloody great. Good on you, Nicole.
And, you know, as we get closer and closer to Christmas, I'm just going to go back and watch some more Nailed It holiday specials.
Surely there'll be some Nailed It. There'll be at least one episode special or something for Christmas.
A one episode special?
One done.
I'd have a chance to touch
Zac Efron or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, she's had so many guests on there, right?
I know, but who would you throw in there that she hasn't had yet?
Zac Efron would be good because I think that would.
I think they'd vibe.
I think they'd vibe, but it would throw her a bit.
Lizzo. There we go. That's the right answer. I will accept no other. How Lizzo has not been on that show yet. Bring in her flute.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
The positivity would be erupting.
Jacques would be beside himself. He wouldn't know what to say. He just laughed the whole time. I love those episodes where he can't cope and he just laughs at everything. It's like he's just an audience member. Yeah, so Nicole Byer, Big Beautiful Weirdo, is available on Netflix right now.
I like that title, Big Beautiful Weirdo. Mm. BBW. Yes. Beautiful Woman.
Yep. Anything else you've watched?
Not this year.
Ah!
There are things that I've watched, but we don't need to talk about them. Yeah. We've got to get into some festive spirit.
Festivities. Well, why don't we start now with the quiz?
Can we?
This quiz is called Christmas Sitcom Episodes.
All right.
I'll give you the name of the Christmas-themed episode.
Yep.
And I'll give you two options. You have to tell me which sitcom it's from.
Okay. Oh, I could do it. That. Got it.
So this episode is called Jolly Old Saint Dick. Is it 30 Rock or Third Rock from the Sun?
That's going to be Third Rock from the Sun.
It is. Well done.
Because Dick is the main character. John
Absolutely. Good job. I'm very impressed.
I love a bit of Third Rock.
This one's...
I'm going to do a rewatch of that soon, I think.
It's been a long time.
Been a long time.
He was very young. Well, not John Lithgow.
Joseph.
Gordon Levitt.
Yeah.
But he played the oldest character,
bloody French Stewart doing the eyes thing.
Yeah, that eye.
Can you imagine doing 8 years of squinting?
It would have been pretty good if you didn't want to be noticed in the supermarket, right?
Oh, sure. I'm sure. Imagine you could just walk around the rest of the time and be fine. But at some point, your face would be like, they're
ouch.
Not paying me enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't see it, listeners, but I've been doing the squint thing for about 40 seconds now.
How's it
going?
I've
had enough. Yeah. Oh, God. My eyes are very watery.
Oh, no. That would have caused havoc with his makeup. The Toaster is an episode from which sitcom? Home Improvement or Everybody Loves Raymond?
I want to say Home Improvement.
It's Everybody Loves Raymond. That one's real. Like, I thought that one could have, you know, gone either way.
It could have gone either way.
Yeah.
I could see.
Yeah.
Them in the tool
to fix
time.
It. Yeah.
Fixing a toaster.
I, oh, baby, baby. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or Fresh Off the Boat?
I'm going to say Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Correct. Yeah. The other one from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air had something about Will's Christmas holiday, and I'm like, that's too
it's
easy.
Too obvious.
Too easy.
Too much.
How Lily Stole Christmas. Is that Just Shoot Me or How I Met Your Mother?
How I Met Your Mother. Lily is...
She's the one that
Allison
was in Band
Hannigan?
Camp,
yes,
right?
Yes, Alison Hannigan. She's the host on Penn and Teller Fool Us.
She good?
She's great. Mm. She sits on stage, gets bamboozled and gets angry when people will inflict violence on her. It's fake violence.
Yeah, okay. But is it fake anger?
Yeah. She's very good. Used to be, what's his name, Jonathan Woss. Was he?
Oh, yeah.
English guy. But he could only do the first two seasons.
Because he had to go back
to England. Yeah. Alison Hannigan. It's not far.
Mm.
And best friends with Neil Patrick Harris, the most famous magician around.
Has he been in the show yet? Okay. I was checking. This episode is called A Sweat Dog Christmas Special. Is this
Wow. Sorry.
Is this Welcome Back, Cotter or Two and a Half Men?
A Sweat Dog.
Sweat Dog, one word.
Sweat Dog. Got to be Two and a Half Men. Sweat Dog seems like something Charlie Sheen injects.
You would think so, but it's Welcome Back, Cotter, because I feel like John Travolta's group were called the Sweat Dogs or something like that. Or maybe it was a character. It's been a very long time since I've seen it in the afternoon. Sweat Dog.
Up Dog?
Not Up Dog. Yeah, but well done.
Ligma.
Finally.
Yes.
Seasonal Help. Is it Superstore or Malcolm in the Middle? Because you can see that being an episode
see it in
for
both. Both Superstores, everyone's on board, but Seasonal Help, that's the mum on. I'm going to go with Malcolm in the Middle.
It's Superstore.
Ah! I talked myself out of that one.
That was good.
That was a good quiz.
That was good, wasn't it?
I like that. I like a good Christmas episode of a show that normally shows in late October or something.
You know, yeah, and filmed in like July. You know, I was super, super tempted to do one from Friends, but it would have been too easy because it would have been called The One with
Jolly Saint Nick.
That's right. So I decided to go for Jolly Old Saint Dick instead because why not?
Why not?
Why the hell not? Oh, Tom, I'm so excited about next week's episode of The Watchers because it's the live Watchersville play, audio play. I don't think we had a name for it, did we?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's no name. But Tom.
You'll come up with something for writing it down, I'm sure.
I will. We've already recorded it, and your voice, you put a lot of effort in.
I did, yes.
Yeah. I felt like towards the end, maybe you needed a nap.
Yeah, I put everything on the table.
Yeah, it was good. It was brilliant. Very good acting and performing. All right, so that means that we have now got time to watch whatever we want until the new year.
I'm going to play so many games.
Actually, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that. Yeah. I want to start.
You need to get ready for Horizon. It's going to be here before you know it.
February, right?
It's going to sneak up on you. February 18th or something, I think.
You're going to have to play the first one.
I signed up for PS Plus this week thinking it would be on there. It wasn't.
Oh, isn't it on there?
No, but I've got it somewhere at home.
Okay, good.
I've got it.
On special, surely.
I think that's one of those PS hits.
Yeah, that's right, the PS hits. I found it for
$20.
Yeah, that's perfect. Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
Cool.